Welcome to this new detailed edition of the Bay Pay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is January 6, 2019. This edition is brought to you by Paycademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about UK government awards contract despite contractors' bad credit. Changes to business lending underway at India's PSU banks. Fintech steps in as invoice payment wait times inflate. The power problem holding back supply chain digitization. Community banks embrace faster payments competitive edge. Now let's get started. UK government awards contract despite contractors' bad credit. The UK's Crown Commercial Service, CCS, announced that Britain's biggest construction company Balfour Beatty would be hired, even though it was among major construction firms that were recently punished for failing to pay suppliers on time, according to the Construction Index. Balfour Beatty was suspended from the Prompt Payment Code in April 2019. The Prompt Payment Code was established in 2008, and thousands of firms are accredited. The CCS construction framework runs for 7 years, and is made up of 11 lots broken down into 38 sublots. This government-run construction agreement is the first for the entire public sector, and enables all organizations to find firms to construct schools, hospitals, prisons, housing and more. In November, when the government chose 128 companies to share in a roughly $30 billion, $39.2 billion USD, 7-year project, Balfour Beatty was not selected for 31 of the 38 sublots. Instead, Balfour Beatty was among 14 contractors chosen for Lot 5, a project worth over $80 million. 3 more lots are still outstanding. The total number of contractors being used for a lot or sublot is now 136. From September 1, 2019, any supplier who bids for a government contract above $5 million per annum will be expected to answer questions about their payment practices and performance, said the then Cabinet Office Minister for Implementation Oliver Dowden in July. If they are unable to demonstrate that they are paying 95% of invoices within 60 days, they may be excluded from the process. In April, the Cabinet Office started warning companies that rules taking effect in September would require firms bidding for annual contracts of more than $5 million to pay 95% of invoices within 60 days, with a goal of 30-day payment terms. The rules are part of an effort that seeks to curtail the late payments epidemic where, as reported, as many as 50,000 small businesses (SMBs) shutter each year due to late payments. SMBs account for 86% of the workforce in the UK. Changes to business lending underway at India's PSU banks. India's state-owned banks are going through changes that could mean an overhaul in business lending, the Economic Times (ET) reported on Friday, January 3. For decades, public sector undertaking (PSU) banks have largely been responsible for handling the working capital loans that many firms need for daily operations. Based on net current assets, the system for corporate borrowers was considered flawed, having loaned too much money to some businesses and too little to others. India's biggest lender, the State Bank of India (SBI), is now considering a move to a cash flow-based lending model from the current asset-based model. Under the proposed change, borrowers would have to regularly share cash flow statements with lenders. Madhav Kalyan, CEO of JP Morgan India, has been tapped to lead a panel to evaluate the proposal, two sources told ET. The matter was mentioned at a meeting of the Indian Banks Association in December. Though proposed by SBI, it has to be a collective decision by the industry, one source told the news outlet. PSUs calculate a borrower's working capital requirements by looking at the difference between assets and liabilities. Generally, a company covers 25% of a working capital gap, with banks funding the rest. Assets don't help companies to repay loans. It's their cash flow that makes a difference. It's high time that state-owned banks migrate to a cash flow-linked system to finance working capital. Private and MNC banks have been doing it for over a decade now, a senior banker told ET. Cash flow-based lending relies on the inflows, sales and capital, and outflows, payroll and taxes. India is probably the only country with a cash credit system of funding working capital requirements of commercial borrowers, said veteran banker PH Ravikumar. At the start of the decade, 35% of Indian adults had bank accounts. In 2014, that figure had improved to about 53%. It was at that point that the nation instituted the first of what would be many efforts in building a national digital financial infrastructure. Fintech steps in as invoice payment wait times inflate. When it comes to late B2B payments, there's good news and bad news. The good news stems from the UK, where new research has found that fewer invoices were paid late to small businesses (SMBs) in 2019 than in 2018. Among the success stories of the nation's efforts to combat late supplier payments is construction firm Kier Construction, which, according to the Construction Index, has been reinstated to the UK Prompt Payment Code as of last month, following an internal initiative to improve supplier relationships and engagement. We remain committed to paying all our suppliers to agreed terms, and have made significant improvements in our payment processes whilst continuing to offer our subcontractors, particularly SMBs, a range of accessible payment plans, said Kier Group CEO Andrew Davies. Fintech innovation has taken steps to address the late payments challenge in construction and beyond. In a recent conversation with PYMNTS, Levelset CEO Scott Wolf noted that fintech solutions have an opportunity to address the many fragmented, tiny players in a single, large construction project who are overlooked with respect to the payments problem. This week, investors backed a US-based fintech that positions itself as a provider of accounts receivable services to help small businesses recover revenue stuck in unpaid invoices. However, the bad news is that wait times for invoice payments in the UK have doubled, with knock-on impact on businesses' cash flow and ability to take on new work and renewed criticism questioning the government's ability to address the challenge. Below, PYMNTS runs through the latest data behind the ongoing fight against late B2B payments. 23 days, the average time a UK small business waited to receive payment on a past due invoice in 2019. That's nearly double the average late payment of 12 days recorded in 2018, new data from Market Finance revealed, according to Accountancy Age. In total, $44.5 billion is owed in late payments to UK SMBs, at an average of more than $44,871 owed to each company. The good news, researchers noted, is that fewer invoices were paid late in 2019 compared to 2018, 39% versus 43%. 87%, the portion of UK SMBs that said they have been forced to take on less orders because of cash flow constraints related to late payments, Market Finance found. According to Market Finance External Relations Director Bilal Mahmood, overall, it seems who you are doing business with, and where they are based, is important to know for a small business if they need to forecast cash flow. He added that while regulatory efforts like the UK Prompt Payment Code are effective at raising awareness of the late payments challenge, they need more bite. 136 contractors, selected by the UK Crown Commercial Services Framework Agreement, which opens up an opportunity for public sector firms to provide construction services to build schools, hospitals and other structures. Among them is Balfour Beatty, the largest construction company in Britain, according to the Construction Index, which noted raised concerns over Balfour having been awarded government work despite its suspension from the UK Prompt Payment Code for late payment practices. $1 million, both the value of revenue that Callbox has recovered in unpaid invoices for SMB customers, and the value of seed funding the company recently announced. Callbox, which raised the funding from Bala Investments, Longview Technology Ventures, Capital Factory and the Alamo Angel Network, analyzes small businesses' accounts receivable, and offers tailored collection services to help firms recover revenue on past due invoices. According to Callbox CEO and co-founder Cameron Desotels, late payments can cause one of the biggest risks to small businesses, cash flow challenges. Collaborating directly with Walmart, as well as other service providers in the logistics and supply chain technology arena, will be key to solving what Wu termed a chicken and egg conundrum that emerges. A lack of powering technology for IoT-connected devices can hamper corporates' adoption of those supply chain tools, but without adoption of these tools, demand for wireless power technology will lag. Walmart wants the full solution, they don't want the piecemeal, he said. We have to work with all ecosystem players. That will be an important strategy moving forward as wireless power technology moves into additional use cases. For Walmart, the pilot will see the retail conglomerate deploying CODA for its asset tracking operations across large distribution centers, a process Wu explained traditionally requires manual, human intervention to track and manage inventory across thousands of trailers. But there are other applications in supply chain management, ranging from wirelessly powering other kinds of asset tracking devices, handheld devices and scanners, sensors and more, from warehouses to distribution centers to fleet and shipping vehicles. Oftentimes, the power of an employee's handheld device won't last through an entire shift, said Wu, leading to inefficiencies. And in filling the power gap that can hold businesses back from migrating their supply chains into Industry 4.0, ASEA can also elevate corporates' ability to access data from those powered devices, which Wu said will be essential to removing major barriers to adoption of these tools. If I walk into Macy's, for example, the reason there are not all of the beacons and IoT sensors is not because those products don't exist and aren't good at digitizing data, he said. It's because you have to run a wire through it, or put a battery in it, which run out. These technologies don't get deployed because they don't have a good power solution. Community banks embrace faster payments' competitive edge. Community banks are pushing for a stronger role with their small business (SMB) customers. Yet, the broader perception of smaller financial institutions (FIS) in the industry is that these banks lack the resources that larger banks offer, as well as the agility of emerging fintech firms, to promote product and service innovation to their SMB clients. However, through an embrace of fintech collaboration and industry consolidation, community banks appear poised to further dispel assumptions of a lack of digitization. Jenny Moss, Senior Vice President and Director of Treasury Management and Marketing at Texas-based community bank Third Coast Bank, spoke with PYMNTS on the heels of announcing its merger with fellow community bank Heritage Bancorp about why community banks are prepared to embrace financial services innovation and modernization for their small business clients. A consolidating industry, the U.S. banking industry is known as vast and highly fragmented, with thousands of banks in operation today. However, the number of banks has steadily declined over the years, partly driven by merger and acquisition (M&A) activity, with much of that consolidation occurring in the community bank market. According to data from the Conference of State Bank Supervisors, the number of community banks in the U.S. has dropped from 8,000 in 2004 to about 5,400 in 2018. With the Federal Reserve approving the merger between banks SunTrust and BB&T last month, some analysts believe market consolidation will continue into the new year. At the same time, though, community banks' share of the overall banking sector has either risen or remained relatively constant, reflecting community FIS resilience amid growing pressure from larger competitors and newcomer fintech firms. According to its press release, Third Coast's merger of equals with Heritage will enable the combined institution to broaden its reach to consumers and small businesses, as well as continue to foster deeper relationships with clients that can be difficult to achieve at larger institutions. Strengthening SMB ties amid this consolidation drive, community banks have also seemed to strengthen their position with small businesses. The Federal Reserve released a report last April, finding that community banks yield greater satisfaction with small business borrowers than any other kind of FI, even as satisfaction with online and marketplace lenders rises, too. According to Moss, that satisfaction is driven by community banks' ability to become ingrained in the same communities in which their small business borrowers and clients operate, fostering a one-on-one relationship. It's all about the relationship banking, she said. It's about the bankers you know and trust, who are helping you navigate decisions for your business, and for your personal accounts as well sometimes. Yet, small businesses are demanding the same level of technological innovation in their bank products and services that consumers and larger corporates want. In addition, more industry disruption is on the horizon, according to Deloitte's 2020 Banking and Capital Markets Outlook report, which pointed to demand for real-time funding, opportunities in open banking and a focus on analytics-driven processes as key disruptors in business banking ahead. Embracing technological disruption while beneficial, fostering a deep relationship with a small business customer is no longer enough to win over that client's business from a larger FI or more agile fintech with digital, cutting-edge services. In the banking sector today, it's a widespread view that many community banks cannot offer that technological edge that so many customers, both consumer and corporate, demand, an assumption Moss said she hopes to dispel. "I do think that is the perception in the industry," she explained. "However, I have found that community banks tend to be more agile in their ability to adopt specific technology to meet specific needs of their clientele, rather than trying to come up with a one-size-fits-many solution." Despite the Fed's finding of a high satisfaction rate with community lenders, these smaller banks face significant competition. Separately, more recent research from the Federal Reserve's Small Business Credit Survey found that small businesses are now more likely to apply for financing through an online lender than at a small bank, though, according to Forbes, community banks' embrace of fintech collaboration could drive the small business lending needle in their favor. Furthermore, faster payments is also likely to drive community banks' competitive edge. According to Moss, it will be a differentiating disruptor in the banking arena, and an opportunity for community banks to showcase their investment in embracing cutting-edge technologies and services. "Faster payments is the way of the industry for all of us financial institutions, large, medium or small," she said. "To be able to provide that to your customer base will become the defining baseline of whether you're in or out of business." She pointed to technologies like Zelle, which are now opening up their focus to small and micro business users, and supporting their needs for payment speed, too. As new payment networks and rails emerge, though, including the Federal Reserve's FedNow service, small banks must onboard these services to remain competitive. Moss added that the biggest challenge for FIS and payment service providers will be interoperability between solutions to ensure that, regardless of what payment network a customer is using, transactions will process in near real time. "It will be one component of community banks' strategy in showcasing their position as relationship builders with SMB clients, while, at the same time, combating assumptions of a lack of digitization. I am really excited that community banks are investing in technologies," she said, "and I really do hope that consumers and small businesses know that they can have the best of both worlds, with that relationship banking they know and love from a community bank, with the technology they expect from a much larger institution." This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.